His plan. Now, we can make a lot of plans in our lives, but there's no plan like His plan. There are times in our lives that our plans conflict with His plans, but what we must learn is let His plans be first. Now, in His plans, there's God's four core promises to you, and that's where we get this series titled, The Four Cups. And what we got to understand is we are all on a journey. We're not where we used to be, thank God, and we're not yet what we're going to be. And in this process, we're thirsty for more. Now let's look at the four core promises, Exodus 6, verse 6. Let's read. Therefore I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and number one, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Number two, I will free you from being slaves to them. Number three, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Number four, I'll take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So there's four cups here. The first week we dealt with, I preached on the cup of sanctification, which is salvation. That's when you come out of bondage. You are spirit, mind, and body. And when you get saved, your spirit gets saved. But your soul and your mind have to catch up with that. If you died when you get saved, you're going straight to heaven. But the deal is a lot of people still have issues. Somebody say issues. That's got to catch up. That's the reason for the second cup. Tim preached last week, and I really think that's one of the best messages, really moved my heart more than any that's been preached in a while, is the cup of deliverance, freedom. That's where God starts to work out these issues, and God sets us free. Number three is the cup of redemption. That's where you're restored, restoration. And then next week is the cup of praise, fulfillment. So today, the cup of redemption, let's pray. Now, Lord, I need your help today. Give me, Lord, that which makes preaching easy, your Holy Spirit. Let the word connect, and in the altar show us your glory, and all God's people said. So today is on the cup of redemption. The Bible tells us in Exodus 6, 6, listen, everything we preach must be based on God's word. First of all, he says, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Redeem means to buy back or to put you back. Or we could say to get you doing what God created you to do in the first place. See, when the people came out of Egypt, he wanted them out of Egypt, but he wanted to deliver them. And then he had a plan for their life. He wanted to redeem them back. Now, redeem means to buy back, repurchased, to change for the better. How many like better? And to repair and restore. Now, let's look at what redemption is. It simply put, it's doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, in Egypt, the people of God were making bricks, mud bricks, by hand in a mud pit. And that wasn't God's plan for them. God's plan was to live a productive and fulfilled life. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, what's interesting to me is to see the redemption power working in the nation of Israel. God took them out of slaves out of mud pits, and they have become some of the most influential and successful people that have ever lived. Now, the greatest minds of history have been the Jewish. To date, there have been 193 Nobel Prizes, and 23% of the total awards have gone to the Jews. That's less than 0.2% of the world's population. So I'd say that God redeemed them, wouldn't you? And he, with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgments, delivered them. Now, as he has done in them, he brought them from the slave pits. It's the same in you. Some of you, really, you love God, but you're probably not doing what you know you were called to do. So why don't you this morning let him begin to take you on a journey of redemption and begin to drink from the third cup of promise. Now, the whole purpose of salvation and deliverance, as we've dealt with the past 2 weeks, cup one and two, God wants to get you back to your original purpose. You were created for a specific assignment, a destiny. So why do so few drink from this cup? Because of Exodus 6:6 says, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. God redeems us with an outstretched arm. Somebody said, why? Several things. Number one is inferiority. Many people do not have the right kind of view of themselves. You know why we don't see ourselves the way we should be, the way we really are? Is because of our past, of our problems, of our mistakes. You see, if you get burned one time, you think everybody will burn you. If something goes wrong in attempting to do something, you think it's going to happen every time. And what that does is that makes you inferior. You feel that way. So what I'm praying today is that God would help you heal the pain and the scars of yesterday. See, there's a lot of people that try to live out their purpose without settling yesterday. You need to come to grips with everything that's happened to you negative in the past, and you need to say, God, all right, I want to be healed from these. How do you get healed? The first thing is you release everyone that's ever offended you. Now, I want to tell you something. When you release someone that's offended you, that's not saying what they did was right. No. But when you see, the way that you get free is to set other people free. You can't, everybody said this, say you can't live if you don't forgive. And here's what God's ready to do this morning. Psalms 18:35, he's ready to stoop down and make you great. Now, I love this concept. I can see God reaching down and pulling us up out of the pit. You know why? Because God sees greatness in you. Look at somebody who said there's greatness in you. And he sees greatness in you you don't see in yourself. Now, all of us have been to school. You ever been to school? Middle school. Let me tell you some things that's happened. I went to school. I'm not going to tell you the grade because you'll figure out the teacher. She's in heaven. I hope she's in heaven. But when I went to school, I had a problem. I always liked to voice my opinion. And so she made me a little seat in the back by myself that was called the dunce area. Well, I went to recess, the first recess of the year, but I never went to another recess because I'd always sit on that dunce thing in the back. She told me how terrible it was. She said, you'll never make anything. That end of that year, they held me back. You know why? I made all F's. Well, when my mother found out I didn't pass, she wanted to have a powwow with somebody. Because my mama would tell me great things were going to happen to me. She said, you can do it like this. And I'd go to school, and that teacher would say, get back there in that dunce place where you belong. And I'd think, well, you know, I'm a dunce. So my mama went and said, this is not Keith. He's smart. They said, well, look at his grades. She said, well, here's what I want you to do. She said, I pray for him every day. I know that God's got potential in his life. And I want you to pass him up to the next grade. They said, well, not any good. She said, just do it. They said, okay, they passed me up. Well, Mama talked to the teacher and told him what I've been going through. So when I went to the next grade, you know where I was sitting? Right on the front row, right on the front. And this teacher said, told me how smart I was. And I believed it. That year, I made all A's. See, it usually takes somebody else to see your potential. Because a lot of times we're too hard on ourselves. Now, you need to see yourself as God sees you. Ephesians 2:10, listen to this. For we are God's masterpiece. Wow. Say, I am. God's masterpiece. God's child. And since I'm God's child, I'm somebody. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So let me explain it. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. In other words, God didn't create you and say, now what am I going to do with him? God didn't create you and said, wonder what I can find out for her. No, 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 no. God created you with a purpose. He didn't try to find a purpose for you. It's the very opposite. God has something for you to do. Then he created you to do what he wants you to do. Say, God created me for a specific purpose. He had it in mind even before I was created. That's the reason. Say, that's the reason. I'm his masterpiece. Number, second thing we do is deal with his diversion. Now, Satan don't want you to drink from his cup. So how does he hinder? Well, he tries to steal, kill, destroy. Now, the mighty acts of judgment are for your enemies that's coming against you. See, the devil's got his plan for your life. Steal, kill, destroy. Okay? And Jesus said, you've come to have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil's fighting all the time, trying to keep you from finding your dream. And he'll put anything he can in the way, career, money, hobbies, problems, tragedies, anything he can to get you off God's goal for your life and start thinking about yourself. He'll do anything to derail your purpose. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul said, we wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried and tried again, but Satan prevented me. Now, prevented means to cut a ditch in your road, to cut off your way, hinder. How many ever felt hindered in your life? Now, with mighty acts of judgment, God will confront any enemy that's coming against you. Look at somebody and say, God's fighting for me. And he's fighting for you. Say, we're king's kids. He'll confront any enemy that comes against you. The devil will try to keep you from finding your dream. He'll put anything in your way. But God can turn around any situation that comes your way because God's bigger than the devil, his power is stronger than the devil, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you believe it, give God praise. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called to his purpose for them. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you don't know me. I've blown it. Who hasn't? Somebody told me today, they said, I've blown it and blown it and blown it again. Well, you know what the apostle was? Peter was a forgiven failure. One day he was saying, oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next day he was cussing everybody out. They said, you know Jesus? He said, no way, I don't know him. And they pushed him a little bit, and he had a cussing fit. But you know what? God chose him. And in a few days, on the day of Pentecost, he preached until thousands got saved. Romans 11:29. God's gifts, God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. So that which God called you to do is in you. Somebody say, it's in me, and it'll never change. So how do you drink from this cup of redemption? First of all, you got to know your spiritual gift. Romans 12:6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. You know what grace is? That supernatural power. Grace is a supercharger. It's divine enablement that makes it easy for you to do. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So what you do, first of all, is you've got to discover your spiritual gift. How? The best way to discover your gift is discover your design. Now, if God had something for you to do, then he created you to do it, then he designed you to do what you're supposed to do. Let me say that again. If God had a work he wanted you to do, and he created you, he gave you the gifts to do it. Listen to this. Psalms 139, 13. You made all the delicate inward parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb and made me so wonderful. See, every one of you that come to East Calhoun, I want to tell you something. When you were born, when you were conceived, God put in your DNA gifts so you could glorify him here at East Calhoun. That's right. Where you are, God wants to use you. Everybody say, I'm right here. That's where God wants you. Somebody said, well, you know, one of these days when I get to God, if you don't let God use you where you are, it'll never happen. Bloom where you're planted. We've all heard that. But God put gifts in you to function in this church. And your design, reveals your destiny. See, God, everybody say this. Say, God made me the way I am. So you got to figure the design you have and embrace it. And here's the key to do it. Get close to the one who designed you. Ephesians 1:11 reads, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. You're not here just to keep that seat warm you're sitting in or to suck air that we've got so wonderfully blowing out in this congregation this morning. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for our glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Colossians 1:16, listen to this. For everything, absolutely everything, above, below, visible, invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. That's why you are in a great place this morning. Because you are here because you want to know more about Jesus. You want to know more about him. And that's the reason you're here. So find out your gifting. Then number two, develop your gift. You ready for this? At East Calhoun, we believe our job is to help you develop your gift. You know what this church is? It's built around people with gifts. Divine enablement. See, if you're doing what God's called you to do, it's not just your power, but it's supernatural power to do it. I remember we needed somebody for the nursery years ago, so I just designated some people to go back there. Well, they wouldn't have been more called than a man in the moon to go back there, but they did it because I asked them to. We had one man that went back there to help us, and they had him changing poopy diapers. Later on, he said, Pastor, that's not my calling. I said, well, don't smell your hands. Just go wash them before. But I put him in. You know why people burn out? Because they're not called to change poopy diapers, and they're made to do it. He said, this is not my gift. So we took him out of there, and he just praised God. And finally we found this lady, Mary Wilson, here at the church, that she took her, got information, and we helped her to discover her gifts, and her gifts was ministering to the children. So now she goes in there, and her job is to love those babies and change poopy diapers. And she loves it. And I am so glad she does. And she's got ladies around her that have that same gifting, and they take care of children, and it just loves them. Where if I would do it, it would wear me out. And if I did it long, I'd have to find somewhere else to go. Huh? Come on. Now, if you're going to, how many ever had a flat tire? Okay, the first thing when you have a flat tire, you know what you got to do? You got to change it. How do you change a tire? You know how you change a tire? You go look in the trunk and you get a tool. What would you do if you looked in the trunk and the only tool you found was a screwdriver? Well, you'd go out there and you'd put them around that lug and you would just have, finally you'd throw that thing away and walk. But if you had, think of the frustration of trying to change it, take lug nuts off with a flathead screwdriver. It's impossible. Oh, you might take one lug off after 4 or 5 days. But you go back in there and you get a four-way lug wrench and just pop, 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 pop. And you say, hey! It's kind of like this guy bought a chainsaw wanting to cut down trees. And he bought it and they said it's so much easier. And so he took it and he came back, wore out, and he said, this thing doesn't work. So the man put some gas in it and cranked it up. And the man said, what's that? He didn't know you were supposed to crank it up. There are people in the church trying to cut down trees with chainsaws with no gas in them. There are people in this church. Boy, that would be frustrating. I mean, I'd be ready to chew somebody out, you know. There's people that's got flathead screwdrivers trying to change tires. Look at somebody and say, honey, it ain't going to work. You're going to get mad, frustrated, disgusted, and like Peter, you may cut somebody out. So what happens is everything's frustrated. That's where a lot of people think about churches and working churches. Oh, God, I can't do that. It's kind of like a man I preached one time, I said, give your all to God and let God lead you in your life and do what he says do. And he said, I had to quit praying. I said, why? He said, I'm afraid God would send me to Africa or God would send me to Indonesia. I said, if God sent you to Indonesia, Africa, that's because you would want to go there. Hello. It's just like you get down praying, a man get down praying, God, what you want me to do? And God, and it's like God saying, change poopy diapers the rest of your life. You'd say, no way, Jose. And it wouldn't be God. I know of a man that they said go to India, I think, and he sold everything he has and went to India. Somebody prophesied over him. And when he got over there, him and his wife divorced and they lost everything they had. And he came back and he's backslidden now. If anybody gives you a word from the Lord, it's not something new. It's only confirmation of that which you've already known. About the two or three witnesses. So what happens is when you begin to function your gifts, you know what happens? You get excited then. I had a man one time call me and he said, Pastor Reed. I said, what's going on? He said, my wife has been born again. I said, say what? He said, my wife's been born again. I said, tell me. He said, well, and I'm not going to call any names. He said, me and my wife used to argue and fuss and we'd get upset and want to fight and we'd grumble and we didn't want to pray. We sure didn't want to tie to God and we didn't really want to go to church much, but we wanted to love God, but it was just wearing us out. And said, one day my wife took a evaluation like I'm going to tell you about, and she found out her design. And her design was minister to those less fortunate. And she started working in the food bank and the coat ministry. And he said, you know what happened when she went down there? I said, what? He said, she got born again. He said, she went down there and began to work, and she came home. He said, her lights turned on. And he said, you know what's amazing? She don't fuss as much as she used to fuss. Well, there's a lot of men that's excited now. And he said, you know why? Because when she began to minister to the needy, you know what? She found out that's her design. And when she did, she got supernatural enabling and she began to live. And he said, now my wife's been born again. Said it's like I need to get her another name because she's just so happy and just laughs and she prays and now she wants to go to church and you don't fight me as much, you know. How many of us today are functioning with God's enablement, doing what God's called us to do? I tell you, I guarantee you half is not. And we whatever we do, it's just like trying to change a tire with a flathead screwdriver. Ephesians 7, 4, 7, 11, and 12 says, but to each one of us, grace Somebody say supernatural power. Has been given as Christ appointed it. So Christ gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people for the work of service. And that's what the growth track does. It takes you through a process of real discipleship. Now, discipleship is not learning some new truth, but it's discovering and developing why you were created. So what we'll do is next Sunday, after the morning service, when you go down there, we're going to have you a meal ready. And after that, we're going to show you, it's called Membership Church 101 and Spiritual Help. Help you to understand what East Calhoun's all about. And God's plan will help you for the process to begin. And then get you connected to God. Then the next week, we're going to, after the service, the main service, we're going to show you self-discovery. We're going to show you what you're designed to do. We're going to give you a personality assessment. And nobody can fail. And you don't write it down what you want to be, but tell the truth, okay, who you are. And then what we're going to do is we're going to help you to learn your design so you can begin to function within your design. And then here's the next one, the last one. It's next week's message. Use your gift. Now, when you find out, we're going to help you find out what your gift is, and then we're going to give you opportunities in the church so you can function. We need people out in the parking lot that'll greet people. We need people that can do work in behind closed doors, do paperwork. Now, some people, they don't want to be before everybody. And if you put them up before anybody, they'd have a panic attack. So what you do is you put them where they're gifted. And their lights come on to get born again. And the people that's got a, you know, personality like to talk, you put them out greeting people. Hey, how you doing? Woo! Praise God. They become somebody new. It's better than a B12 shot, honey. Touch somebody and say he's preaching. I mean, it's awesome. This is your purpose in life. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given gifts to each one of you from his great variety of gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. When you begin to function within your gifting, then power of God flows through you. And when you do that, you're worshiping God and serving God. Hebrews 6:10, our last scripture. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. You have a unique gift, and if you give me half of a dog's chance, we'll help you find out what that gift is. But we got to understand our purpose is to serve God by serving others. Well, somebody said, well, Pastor, I just want to just come to church. Well, would you like to get born again again? I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. Yeah, you get saved, you're going to go to heaven. But what happens, your spirit's saved, but your mind and body is just going wacko, and things are not lining up, and you just fight and fight and fight, and you try to, you can't get victory over this thing, and the reason you can't is you don't have supernatural power. But if you'll just go the second mile, and next Sunday morning after the 11 o'clock service, and I'll go down there with you. We'll go down. You have a meal, and I won't eat all of it. I'll leave some for you. We'll start, and then the second week, we'll give you a. We'll show you your personality. You know what a lady told me one time? She said, "I found out my husband's personality. He's not just mean. He just got a certain personality. He just don't see things like I do." And he said, praise the Lord, thank God. He hugged me and kissed me on the jaw after his personality. He said, it's just made my life. Because now my wife and I understand because we see things the way both of us are made. Huh? And then we're going to discover your design. And then we're going to help position you. See, if I can get everybody, just the people that's here, and I preached it for the morning service. This is the second service today. If I can get everybody in this church discovering your design and start doing what God's called you to do, then supernatural power comes through you, and God does the work. But I got a problem. We've got to get you to where God wants you. And I want to get you, have you ever felt like something's wrong? Something's just not right. You know, and you couldn't put your finger on it. And what happened is you look at a puzzle and it doesn't look right. And what happens when you discover your design and why you're living and you begin to function, you put that piece right there. And then you say, wow, that's it. That's the reason this happened back there. And that's the reason this is going on. Now I see the big picture. Let's bow our head. Help us to realize our purpose is to serve you by serving others, O Lord. And Lord, there's four types of people in this church today. Number one, there's people that don't even know they got here, how they got here, and they're ready to leave right now. They know they're lost. Secondly, there's some who has drifted away and they're not sure. Three, there are people here that are religious, but it just seems like it's just not working in their life. And then there's those that know Jesus and they're ready for eternity. The first cup you've got to take off is the cup of salvation. So let's all pray this prayer. If you would, pray it with me. Say, Almighty God, your word tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if I believe in my heart that you raised Christ from the dead, you said I'll be saved. So with my mouth, I confess right now, Jesus Christ is Lord. And with my heart, I choose to believe you raised Jesus from the dead. So right now, Lord, you said I am saved.